All right, praise God. This is February the 25th, 2018. And we're going to continue on this morning in Wait For It. This is part two of Wait For It. You know, as we were singing about calling those things to be not as though they were, and I'll have the best, I'll have brand new, and the Lord quickened to me. He said, let them know today that you don't have to settle. Because whenever you decide that you've let go of the reins and you're going to let God be the one in the lead, that's what we've been talking about. Wait for it. It's like, you know, when I remember hearing Brother Winston talk about sending 10 kids to college without any money. It's about planting a seed. It's about getting instructions from the Lord. Now, the Lord knows where we are in our faith. And, you know, through the years, the Lord's used us in houses and different things, but we didn't start out where we are today. We started out lower, but the Lord always made sure it was nice. It was a nice thing, but it wasn't about our ability. It was teaching us to walk by faith. It wasn't about our ability to provide. It was His provision. See, that's the hardest thing for people to get, is letting go of what they think and what they can afford and what they can do, and totally resting in God. And how you do that is you come with a seed, and then you plant the seed. Then you water the seed. Go to bed, get up. That's what we've been looking at. Go to bed, get up. What happens? It starts to grow. And we wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. When the blade comes out, we don't harvest. We just wait for it, go to bed, get up, go to work, go about our business. And then the Lord says one day, the harvest is ready. Put in the sickle. This has nothing to do with your ability to do anything. Probably more your ability to rest than anything in the world. Because once you've planted that seed, it's like taking flower seeds. I can't make it any simpler than this. You plant it. Do you fret over that? Do you fret over it? We have cotton. We don't ever think about the cotton. In fact, we make more when the crop fails than we do when it happens in good because of insurance, you know. But the point is being, the seed is in itself. You go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what we would like to do. What do you say about it? He say, well, I say I'd like for you to have it. And then He gives you instructions. He tells you the seed to sow, gives you a scripture. You make a petition. I know for this house here, Evan and I made a petition. And she forgot about it after a few months, but I kept speaking it, and then I kind of forgot about it. And less than 2 years, no, really, 1 year. 1 year. It was less than 1 year. Here we are. The harvest came forth. Was it within our means? Not really. But God took care of it. You see what I mean? We followed His plan. We were not even looking for a house, but we did make that petition. I'm thinking, be careful what you ask the Lord for. You just might get it. You know, He knows every seed that you plant in the ground. He knows. He doesn't forget. It's as simple as getting the Lord's mind on something, and He'll give you the steps. That's how the kingdom operates. People want to know, how do I get stuff in the kingdom of God? This is how you get stuff. In my old Bible, I have written Hebrews. You can see it on my, whenever my program comes on, you can kind of see thumbing through the pages and it hit lights on Hebrews 11:1, and you see I wrote out stuff right beside that. Actually, those weren't my fingers. That was a young man that used to do it the first few years. He was thumbing through it, taking pictures, you know, but the point is, faith produces stuff. Planting that seed in the ground, that's how it comes to pass in the kingdom of God. It's not you trying to rack your brain, trying to figure out how in the world you're going to do it. It's by planting a seed. I know our former pastors. Back 3-4 years ago, the Lord spoke to us to buy him a car. So I called her, and she couldn't hardly talk. She was so shocked. But then she said something. She said, well, we had just sold the biggest, best offering that we could. I mean, they planted a seed, see? See? And they were in dire straits. What they had was not making it anymore and had no means to even make payments or do anything else. What'd they do? They planted a seed. They didn't know where it's coming from. And she said, I can't really believe it. Thinking, well, that don't sound like faith to me. You planted the seed. Shouldn't you expect a return? I guarantee you today, you go out there and plant a plant or a seed, something's going to come up. And really, with very little attention from you. See, that's what the Lord says. If you'll rest and just trust me, I can do great things for you. But as long as you stay in this mindset of how am I going to do it, it probably won't ever get done. Thank you, Lord. We got to wait for it. We got to rest. Okay, let's look at some scriptures. Mark 4, what I've just been talking about. The Lord wants us to have the best of the best of the best of the best, not some broken down old piece of yuck that barely standing. He wants us to have the best. That's all He has, is the best. Y'all get that today? He has no poverty districts. He has no poverty districts. He wants His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we ought to pray that over every area of our life, every day. Whatever area. Lord, my finances are on this earth as they are in heaven. That's the way my finances are. That's the way my health is. That's the way my country is. He gave us a simple prayer if we just obey it. We just get so religious and think we've got to put a lot of things with it. We're going to get together and have this big committee and we're going to go out and do this big work for God. And God said, all I ask you to do is pray the Lord's Prayer. You see how we complicate it? How simple, God. Really, He wants us to rest. He's resting. And we're seated with Him, are we not? So if He's resting, why should we be sitting in the throne having an agitated fit when Jesus is there, the Father's there, and they're resting? But what's wrong with them? Don't they know? What caused the Israelites to not go in? They couldn't rest. They'd been in the system so long that they could not get a hold of the fact that God wanted to take care of them. Down to their each meal, He wanted to take care of them. And that's where the rest comes in. Trusting God. You know, so much of what we see on television and stuff, it's all about carry and care for yourself. Self-care. But God's kingdom is just the opposite. He doesn't want you taking a care about anything. Not about your retirement. Not about old age. Not about your body. Not about what you're going to eat. Isn't that what Matthew 6 talks about? What you're going to eat. What you're going to drink. What you're going to wear. He said the whole world's running after that. We see that. It's prevalent. But He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. How's the kingdom of God operate? As if a man put a seed in the ground. There's the kingdom you're to seek after. That's what you should be seeking. Planting. Planting. Okay. Mark 4, 24. Or 20. Well, I put 24. Let's just go 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground. So whatever you're needing, whatever you want, the seed is in itself. If you plant a corn seed, you're going to get corn. Cotton seed, cotton. Apples, apples. On and on we go. So it's if a man scatters seed upon the ground. Whatever you need from God, it's time to scatter some seed on the ground. And then continue sleeping and rising night and day. While the seed sprouts and grows and increases, he knows not how. He don't have to sit there and study for 12 hours a day to try to figure out how faith works. He needs to put it in the ground, and then he needs to rest. Go to bed and get up. Says he don't know how it works. And you can study till you faint. And you're probably not going to ever understand it. But it doesn't matter. It still works. The seed is programmed to work. Everything that needs for it to come forth as a harvest or production is inside of it. And when it's planted, it's impossible unless you mess it up. You dig it up, poison it. The earth produces by itself. That means it needs your help. Your rest needs your rest. Continue to proclaim, I believe I have received. That's calling those things to be not as though they were. That's how God does it. He said, God is the God who calls things to be not as though they were. What happened in Genesis when he saw the planet? Did he have a nervous breakdown over it? Figure out what in the world we're going to do? I better call that contractor, you know? See if he can fix this thing up. No, he said, light be. And it was. He called for what he wanted, not what he saw, not what he had. Now get that. It wasn't what he had. He also used faith. He is not expecting us to do anything that he doesn't do himself. Jesus walked by faith when he was here. In fact, that's what he taught, was his principle. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. This is the wait for it part. Genesis, seed, time, and harvest. This is Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth continues, seed, time, harvest. But when the grain is ripe and permits immediately, he sends forth and puts in the sickle because the harvest stands ready. All sounds good, doesn't it? Well, we have an adversary, and we're going to look at him today in kind of in depth. What he does, why he does what he does, okay? Turn over one page to the parable of the sower. It may be the same page. It's just across the page, actually. Verse 14. It says the sower sows the word. The ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts. But when they hear, you know, the heart is the production center. It's your garden. Okay? In their hearts, but when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force, it says in the Amplified, takes away the message which is sown in them. So the seed is the promise, right? So Satan comes to steal the promise away so that it doesn't come forth, okay? But it says he does it immediately. And in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, it's all about hearing the word. He comes, he's after the word, he's after your seed. At once receive and accept and welcome it with joy. And they have no real root in themselves, and so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended. So the devil will use tactics to try to get you out of your love walk. You know, faith works by love here. And so he'll use tactics to try to get you out of that. All right. They become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. The ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world, distractions of the age, and the pleasure and delight, and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches, and the craving and passionate desire for other things, they lose interest, creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. They quit. watering the word, quit calling forth. I remember one time John Osteen, he talked about their church had believed for a barbecue, and so they had asked God as a congregation for two cows they were going to have butchered, you know, for the barbecue. And some time passed, and everybody forgot about it. And one day the Lord showed him this snake with two cows in it. See, God never holds back anything from His children. He already says everything's yes and amen. The best of the best is already for His children. He's prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. So Satan is the one that withholds. It's never God. Sometimes people say stupid things like, well, God, sometimes God says no. Well, concerning His promises, it's always yes. Now, you may ask Him, do I need to go there? And He may say no. You get what I'm saying? But it's concerning His promises and provision for His children, it is yes and amen. Let's clarify that right now. And over in 1 John, I think it says, if we know it's His will, we know that we'll receive it. People take that and think, well, it may not be His will to heal me this time. Well, it's already established in His word. By His stripes ye were healed. It's a yes already. So that's not something we have to go ask God, is it Your will? Now, there may be individual things that are kind of outside of that we need to ask God for direction, maybe. I try to ask the Lord about, should I do that, or should we buy that, or, you know, and let the Lord direct then. But God is not holding back today, not from any of us. Satan comes to steal the seed, and that's what we're going to look at. That's kind of a recap of last week. But keep in mind the scriptures as we go forward. Satan knows how faith works. He observed God, and he wanted to be like God. Thus his bold statement. Let's look at Isaiah 14. Well, just think about it. He watched God create. And he determined, I'm going to be like God. But his problem was he wanted to best God. He wanted to be above God. But that's not the reason that he lost his position. This is Isaiah 14, verse 12. About there. How have you fallen from heaven, O light bringer and day star, son of the morning? How you have been cut down to the ground, you who weakened and laid low the nations, satanic king of Babylon. And you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of assembly in the uttermost north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the innermost recesses of the pit. So there's a scripture that says even the angels long to look into salvation. They do not really understand. They ask God, why are you mindful of Him? What makes Him so special? Well, God made man in His image, after His likeness and after His kind. So we were born to create just like God. We were born that when we see a desolate situation out there, we're to speak what we want. We are born to say something about everything. So what does the devil try to do? He tries to come and get you to say wrong words. He really can't do anything. He really has nothing except the power of suggestion to try to change your mind from what you know the Word says to what He is suggesting to you. And if you don't take the suggestion, there is nothing He can do. Nothing. But He knows how your faith works. It works like God's faith. And when you say something, even if it's in the negative, He knows it'll come to pass. And so what is He going to do? He's going to try to just knock you out of everything God says is yours. He wants to sabotage. He wants His will be done. Kill, steal, destroy. Just the opposite of what God's will is for you. And on the other side of that, He is angel class. He is forbidden to speak and walk by faith. Angel class do not have the same privilege as man. That's why the angel said, what is man that you're mindful of him? We're just here and we're just servants. That's the only privilege we have. But we don't have the privilege of a son of God walking by faith. Satan thought, I'm going to get the privilege. I'm going to steal the privilege. And that's why he takes your seed. Because he can make his will come to pass. And his will is to sabotage anything God has said yes to and make it a no in your life. Poverty, sickness, rejection, you name it. There's a list. So he's after sabotaging the word, sabotaging the harvest to make sure that it doesn't come to pass in your life. That's why he brings all these conditions. If he could just take it, he would have taken it. But he sends all these conditions. We read them. Cares, anxiety, some of them is even riches. Just distractions and things to get us off taking care of our harvest, calling things that be not as though they were, resting in God, thanking God that our harvest has come in. That's his whole game. That's all he's got. And if we fall prey to into his hands, we don't get that, we'll be stolen from and be blaming God and boo-hooing most of our life. Most people live that way and they have no clue. They think, oh, God's forgotten me. I don't have a lot of patience for that. I really don't. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. Some of the people that you're going to send, if they're sincere and they want to change is one thing, but if they're just going to sit over there and be mad at everybody that they offended me and they hurt me, oh, bless God, and do their pity party, they're just going down the road. You know, we're in a time where we're going to take the kingdom of God. We're going to advance the kingdom of God. We're not going to sit around like the church has done for I don't know how many years and done nothing, had no power. You know, there's a price for power. Yeah, get up, quit sucking up, quit acting like a baby. That's the way mature people. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like a child. I talked like one too. But when I became a man, I had to put the childish ways behind me. Okay. All right, Hebrews 1. Yeah, I was talking to somebody on the phone yesterday, and I was telling them about that our fellowship, though it may be small and may seem humble, that we're serious here. We are not playing games. We are not playing games. We're serious about finally seeing what the Word says about us in our life. Okay, Hebrews 1. I guess it's verse 1. Okay. In many separate revelations and in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers and by the prophets. In the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of a Son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the worlds and the regions of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being the outrain or radiance of the divine, and he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had by offering himself accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high, taking a place and rank by which he himself became as much superior to angels as the glorious name, title which he has inherited, is different from and more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you, established you in an official sonship relation with kingly dignity, and again, I will be to him a father, he will be to me a son. Moreover, when he brings the firstborn son again into the habitable world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Referring to the angels, he says, God who makes his angels winds and his ministering servants flames of fire. But as the Son, he says to him, your throne, O God, is forever and ever to the ages of the ages, and the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of absolute righteousness, of justice, and straightforwardness. You have loved righteousness, you've delighted in integrity, virtue and uprightness, and purpose, thought and action, and you have hated lawlessness, injustice and iniquity. Therefore God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of exalted joy and gladness above and beyond your companions. And you, Lord, did lay the foundation of the earth, and the beginning of the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain and continue permanently. They will all grow old and wear out like a garment, like a mantle. You will roll them up, and they will be changed and replaced by others. But you remain the same, and your yields will never end nor come to failure. Besides, to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand, associated with me in my royal dignity, till I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not the angels all ministering spirits, servants? Boy, the devil hates that one. He's no better than a servant in his greatness, than the greatest whatever he could do. Because that's the position God has put angels. Sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation. So angels are here to minister to us, the heirs of salvation. They assist us when we go about the business of the Lord. We can send them on assignments. Psalms 103 says, they hearken to the voice of his word. So the devil has nothing on you. You sit where God sits. You're seated with him in heavenly places. You have the name that's above every name. You have authority over all principality and power. I think a lot of people, they get to feeling guilty and get to feeling bad, and the devil robs them of their sonship. Makes them think, well, God's not going to listen to me. I have just blown it so many times. Well, you know what? It says there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Jesus never turned anyone away that came to him for healing. He did not try to get them to, you know, scope out their life to make sure they'd done things right before he would do anything. It said he healed them all in some instances. He healed them all. They'd come up to him. He didn't know about their lives, where they'd been. He didn't condemn the lady that was caught in the act of adultery. He didn't condemn the woman at the well. We have to quit letting the devil shout at us things out of our past or whatever. These old tracks of thinking that we've been in for so long that have kept us powerless. What more can he do? You're seated in the throne with God. And you have his name, the blood of Jesus. What more could he do? He couldn't do any more. We don't know who we are sometimes. Well, when the devil starts telling you you ain't, you better start telling him, oh, yes, I is. See, he's there to argue, reason, replace proper thinking with wrong thinking, so he can steal from you. Father has never stolen anything. But you know what? The sad thing is, I don't get out a lot, but what little I do get out, it always seems to be God's fault. Anything bad somebody's going through, God don't love me, God don't care. They don't realize there's an adversary that's at the root of all this. God's just saying, gave my life, gave my blood. Jesus gave my life, gave my blood. Father's saying, gave my only son. What more can I do? To put us back where Adam was. In fact, we're in a better position than he was. We've got the Holy Ghost inside of us. All right, 1 Peter 1:12. I've quoted this a couple times this morning, so I'll just read it. It was then disclosed to them that the services they were rendering were not meant for themselves in their period of time, but for you. It is these very things which have now already been made known plainly to you by those who preach the good news, the gospel to you by the same Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Into these things the very angels long. They long to look. But they don't have that privilege. Now you see why the devil's mad. The only way that he can get any satisfaction or gratification is flipping your faith on you. Most people go their whole life speaking negatively and getting perfect return. Perfect crops coming in. All in the negative. They didn't have to fret over it for it to happen either. It just works. Whatever seed you sow. Said God won't be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. If that's the kind of seed they're sowing, that's the kind of crop they're going to get. Satan has no faith. He only has reasoning. He wants to talk you out of yours, and when he does, you walk in flesh and your faith doesn't go away. It works in the flesh just like it would in the spirit, but it brings negative results. Now understand that. You're operating faith. You've operated in faith since you were old enough to talk. You've operated in faith perfectly. Now let that sink in right now. You've operated in faith perfectly. And you didn't have to put any effort into it. You just let that tongue say. You just let those words be planted as crops. And what was the... Why? Because of the influence. This world is negative and it is geared. It's a demonic system. It is Satan's. He's the god of this world. He has infiltrated every area of this earth. And so he's going to make sure everywhere you go, you hear his word. Boom, dum, dum, dum. Sit down to watch a television program, every commercial. If you listen to that, you'll be dead. See, this is called Satan's frequency. If you're tuned into Satan's frequency, which is just natural, if you being evil know how to give good gifts. Evil means the natural flesh of man. God hates it. But this is how the devil operates. We listen to that. It gets programmed in us, and then we wonder why we're getting a harvest of all the things we've listened to all of our life that's not good. But the Christian on the other side of that, the one that walks by faith and fills himself with the good things. Let me read. Go back to Mark 4. There's a couple of scriptures right before that I need to read. Whatever you fill yourself full of is what you're seeing in your life. All right, it'll be verse 24, Mark 4, 24. Well, 23. For if any man has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure, here it says, of thought and study, you give to the truth you hear will be the message of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. For to him who has will more be given, and from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away by force. I'm thankful for this. You know, we were raised in a home that we never went to the doctor. And if we got doctored, it was grandma's old remedy of either some kind of whiskey with honey in it or something. We just did not go to the doctor. And so I'm kind of thankful for that. I didn't have all that crap programmed in me. You know, where you just went to the doctor for everything. So I am thankful. But, you know, we had money problems, that's for sure. We just, you know, always... my parents lived under that, you know, from the time we knew them until they died, just, you know. But you know what? That's what the Word of God does. It uproots what's not of our Father out of us. That's why sometimes we're just going to have to be in the Word a whole lot. I can remember when I first came into the Word of Faith, I had been diagnosed with a condition and had to take this expensive medicine that made my hands shake. I hated it. But I fell so in love with the Lord, I would just read and read and read and read His Word. I don't know that I ever prayed for healing. And then one day, I just didn't have it anymore. The Word rooted it up out of me. You know, I'll never give up on anybody, but if people are not going to make an effort to do that, there is no hope. If people are not willing to do that, there's no hope. And we can't make somebody do something we cannot. We can encourage them to do something, but initially, it's in their own hands. They got their own garden. They choose what comes out of that garden and what they reap, the harvest they receive. It's God gives them a choice. You've got your own garden. You can't tend somebody else's garden. You know, I know some people, that doesn't mean that God won't use somebody to agree with you and pray for you. Sometimes, like the man with the that was crippled and the friends come through the roof and Jesus saw their faith and healed their friend. But you know what I'm saying? In our life, that's our garden. What we've planted, what we've sown. Okay. Satan is a saboteur. He is an abortionist of dreams and harvests and babies. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So whatever seed you're planting, either death seeds or life seeds. He knows you are in God class, so he wants to mess up what God has made in any way he can. He wants to cause you to have crop failure. Get a drink. Thank you, Lord. All right, is this sinking in today? Okay. Satan has not and will never create anything. He needs men in God class to do it. See, he turns your tongue on you. When you start speaking his words, you start creating what he wants on the earth. And we see the earth the way it is today, and we see that it's heartbreaking what we see. He does not bring sickness and disease. Jesus took that. He only brings reasonings or suggestions trying to convince you to switch your allegiance. Come on now. When you turn your back on God, he sees it as idolatry. When you switch allegiances, well, you were a physician, but now you're not. Come on, think about this. Christians are sick because they've switched their allegiance. God's word shows us what to do when those suggestions come. Counter them. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God that they're pulling down the strongholds, casting down every high and lofty thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Every thought. This is how he gets in. And these are our weapons. They're not flesh and blood. Now, if you're being attacked and you go to the Lord and he says, well, go ahead and take this medication, then you just do what he says. You do what he says because he knows the plan. He knows what will work. But the fallacy of it is not asking him. You know, just doing stuff. Because when we just do stuff, we step into the flesh. What we think is best, this steps into the flesh. But and God may tell you to do the very thing you're doing, but he wants you to ask him. He has a battle plan for everything comes. And he'll tell you what you need to do. It's not about doing this or doing that or not doing this or not doing that. It's asking him. Then let him lead you. Show you. So you can do it. Don't give Satan credit for all this power. The power of suggestion is all he has. Stop deifying the devil. He is an angel. I went to lunch the other day with somebody and they kept talking about somebody they knew was going to have some speaking engagements, and she warned her husband, you might as well get ready, we're going to have attacks. And I sat there and the Lord just quickened this to me. And I said, you tell so-and-so to expect grace, not attacks. I said, we deify the devil. We make him bigger and huger and more powerful than he really is. We get into this attack mentality or hardness mentality, trial mentality, that we forget that we can really be joyful. That's why Paul exhorted all through the epistles, count it all joy, and Peter, count it all joy. Don't think it's strange when something like this comes, because you're partaking of Christ's sufferings. Count it joy. That's why when they got thrown in prison, they sang joy. The devil ain't got nothing on you. Jesus took care of him. Completely and totally. Just got all he's got is the power of suggestion. Oh, thank you, Lord. People talk about more about what the devil's doing than ever about God. Well, it's just been a horrible week. Warfare's been terrible. I'm just blah, 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 blah. Is that the truth? Say, I tell you what, I've had the most wonderful week. I've got the greatest God there is. See, are we empowering the devil to come into our life because of this kind of conversation? So he can just come right on in and just beat us up? Yeah, I think so. I think so. We have to watch it. We have to watch our mouths that we don't get on that negative track. This morning on the broadcast, I was talking about walking in love. You know, how Christians are bashing the president. They are kicking against the pricks. They are fighting against God. Just like Gamaliel said, you better watch what you do to these men. You could find yourself fighting against God. And that's exactly what they're doing. Do they mean to? No. But in the church, we've gotten this way. And I don't know, many, many years of criticizing everybody, criticizing every preacher that comes down the pike. If we don't agree with them, we come out verbally now and put it all over YouTube, how you're evil and you're wrong and this and that. And I'm thinking, you know what? They're a fool. The scripture about you make conclusions and you don't know the facts. You don't really know, especially prosperity preachers. The prosperity, what they call it, the prosperity gospel. There's only one gospel, and prosperity comes with it. What don't they get about that? Why would they want to kill Oral Roberts? Because he said God was good. The devil. They're Pharisees. That's what the Pharisees did. Jesus was healing. Rectifying what the devil had done. Restoring. And they wanted to kill him for it. This is a world that calls evil good and good evil. It didn't just start. It was back there in Jesus' day too. All right. Angels are servants to the heirs of salvation. We will judge angels on their performance. I tell my angels quite frequently, good job, good job. All right, get off Satan's frequency. Stay on heaven's frequency. Stop tuning into Satan's lies. Tune into God's truth. It is not up to you to make your harvest manifest. I mean, works is what I mean there. Just keep believing. Let the seed grow. And when the Lord says it's ready, then go take it and walk on. Go on to some other field. You know, it's like I could see. All these fields, one field had it just didn't look like nothing was there. And then another field had just a little bit of growth. And then another field had a bunch of growth. Well, would you have a nervous breakdown and fret and stew over the one that doesn't seem to have any growth yet? I'm talking naturally. Just picture that. Would you get upset? No. It's stages of growth. Stages. Stages. Harvest. We shouldn't be fretting because we're not seeing what we want to see. We should be thinking, right on schedule. God is faithful. ever true to His word, and you can depend on Him. If there's anything that I want to convey in the last few weeks I've been talking about is what the Lord said to me. I want you to know that you can depend on me more than any other avenue on the earth today. If you're sick, you can depend on me. I already paid for your healing. You can depend on me. In your old age, you can depend on me to take care of you. I'm not just going to drop you out there and leave you to die alone and decrepit. A lot of people come to that place in their life and they die that way. But you know what? David said, I've never seen his seed begging bread or forsaken. The righteous. How does that scripture go? The righteous forsaken their seed begging bread. Yeah, never. See, that's not the way God does things. He doesn't leave some out. He takes care of those that operate in His kingdom. But the thing is, people have done, they've worked it the other way all their life, and then they don't understand why God doesn't come through for them. You got to give Him something to work with. He said, plant a seed. If you don't plant a seed, you have no harvest. Okay. People go to the doctor for a minor thing, and after testing, they find they are eat up with cancer and have 3 months to live. What happened? The power of suggestion. They believe it. They receive it by their faith. Like awareness campaigns, and I've told this, I'll tell it again about Mama. She went into a heart doctor, and they were doing a scan on her heart, and this intern, young man, didn't have a lick of sense, came in there, you're dying of lung cancer. Scared her to death, literally. 3 months later, she's in the grave. Did she have cancer when she went in there? I don't believe it. No, but when she heard it, she conceived it. See, fear. She conceived it in fear. And was able to take her out. Jesus said there's not anything outside the body that goes into the man that can defile him. Now, I'm not saying go eat poison. Don't be stupid. But there are a lot of things that they say, well, if you do that, this causes that. If you do this, that causes that. Well, you know, the scripture also says if a person esteems something unclean, to him it is unclean. So it's the individual person deciding what that will do to them is how the outcome will be. It's not, well, this causes this, because that isn't the truth. Like we were talking about hammering nails causes cancer. He said, when are you going to get it right? You keep saying nailing nails. It's hammering nails. Okay, hammering nails causes cancer. Well, if you believe that, and you hammer nails, what's going to happen? It's what you believe about it. That's the way we've been made. We produce with our words, faith, whether it's negative or positive. Okay. All right. Jesus took all of it on His back, gone, bye-bye. But what do we see throughout the earth? And it's gotten to where it's just ridiculous, is awareness campaigns. You see the ribbons of different colors for different kinds of diseases. And I know nothing against these people, but there was a well-known minister, has a big ministry, that recently had a stroke. And his son was with him, so they rushed him to the hospital and administered drugs, and he came out of it with no bad things. And instead of the son saying, praise God, God was faithful, he said, well, everyone needs to be aware of strokes and what they are about and all of this. I'm thinking, dear God, yeah, that's just what we need, is some more awareness of sicknesses and death. Heck no, we need it stomped out of this world. We need anything like that to be outlawed. If people ever get a clue, it will be. Stop using your faith to produce what you don't want in your life. You're redeemed. Don't listen to Satan's propaganda. I'll tell you another story I've told many times, but I'll tell it again. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Standing in JCPenney's here. In the undergarment department, ladies' undergarments. And this is back before they just started all the campaigns. And it was happened to be the breast cancer campaign. It was just in the underwear department. You know, now it's blasted everywhere. And I'm standing there with my undergarments in my hands to pay for them. And the Lord said, propaganda. I thought, what? This is Satan's propaganda. This is his message of death to you. And he's hoping that you'll take it. He wants you to get all afraid and scared and run and have tests so they can find out you do have it. That's his end for you. And, you know, there's all kinds of other campaigns too. But that one seems to be the worst. See, he wants you aware of that. God wants you to aware of his word and what his word says. Okay, don't get weary in it. Let's look at Galatians 6. I'm not as fast with my new Bible, but I'm learning. 6:9. Well, let's just read 8 because it's too good. No, let's read 7. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions, or by his precepts being set aside. If we don't do it his way, we can't blame him. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. For he sows to his own flesh, lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. So if we stick with it, believe God, see it through, we'll get exactly what we've believed him for, what we've sowed. Okay, let's see where. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And the Lord said to me, most do not please me. They don't use your faith. The way we are made in God's image, to not walk by faith is to go against the grain of our very nature. So you can see why we really open ourselves up to things when we go against our own nature. It's kind of like homosexuals. I did some research on that. That the medical community, they discourage the practice of homosexuality because of the very thing that especially for men, talk about sodomy here. They're doing things in an area that was meant for another purpose. And just naturally speaking, by what they do, it opens their bodies up to all kind of contamination and things. So it's not recommended by the medical field to do it. So they're violating their bodies. They're going against the grain of what is normal, how God created it to be. They're functioning in a capacity that was never meant to be. So it causes problems. Well, for us not to walk in faith and to step over and walk in the flesh and go after Satan, this way, it's against the grain. Don't be discouraged. You're doing it right. Don't let Satan's fear tactics cause you to give up. Wait for it. The fear wouldn't be coming if you weren't being effective and harvest is advancing. In fact, when the fear shows up, you can be assured that you are right on track. It is a sign or a signal. He wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't. He doesn't show up unless he's got he's got a worthy opponent. He doesn't show up if nothing's happening, if you're not affecting something. That's why Peter said, don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange. It's a sign to the devil that he is defeated and you're the victor. It's like a boxing match. But the devil's the one throwing in the towel. He's the one throwing in the towel. He's Rocky, all beat up with swollen eyes and everything. If we really knew, I said, Lord, I wish we could see into the spirit realm how it really is. The devil magnifies himself like a lion, roaring to sound like he's so big, bad, and ugly. But the truth is, he is nothing. He's over there going, ooh, ooh, ooh. Like on The Wizard of Oz when he threw the water on the witch. Ooh, ooh. That's the way it really is. Our biggest problem is we're in the driver's seat. We're the pilot. See, God has to be the one that's overseeing the harvest, like we talked about last week. He is the one that's obligated to make sure your harvest comes to pass. But you're the one responsible to keep yourself in check. Rest. Keep your confession or your profession. God is in the driver's. God is the driver. He's the pilot. We're trying to harvest before the Lord of the harvest has said, put in the sickle. So when we're in the driver's seat, we're trying to call the shots. Well, I think by now it should have been coming. Something's wrong. Really? That's just another lie of the devil. Seed, time, and harvest. We don't know how long the time will be. It may be long. It may be short. You have struggled for years over this. Go to bed, get up, let the seed grow, trust Jesus, the Lord of the harvest, to tell you to harvest or to give you the word to say to that mountain. If it's like anything else, whenever something comes and you need to ask the Lord for wisdom, you ask Him and then you wait on the answer. And if you don't get an answer, you don't do anything. But most of the time people just, well, I didn't hear nothing, so I just did what I thought. See, there's the problem. What they thought. Rest and wait for it. How many times have we plunged ahead and delayed our answer? Because we keep bailing out. Like Charles Capps used to say, whole hog when half ready. See, whole hog. He said, quit trying to build a second story on an empty lot. Is that right? Did I say that wrong too? Third story. Oh, excuse me. Third story on a vacant lot. Okay. The Holy Spirit's constant in us is wait. Wait for it. Wait for it. Okay. Habakkuk. Or Habakkuk, whichever you want to call it. This is chapter 2. Verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tablets that everyone who passes may read it as he hastens by. I will say this about Jerry Savelle. He is the guy that he's always petitioned the Lord and he always gets answers. He wrote a book on petitions, and that's how we got this house, was petition after what he had put in his book. When he's believing for an airplane, he goes immediately and has a model made of the airplane, and he puts it where he's at. And every day he sees it, and he proclaims. He calls for it. He keeps a visual. And, you know, that visual helps him to stay on track, stay on target, and call him for what God has for him, the answer, to where he doesn't get bamboozled by the devil with thoughts of negativity, it's never going to come, you know, we might as well give up this time, whatever. A petition is a good thing to have, a piece of paper that's got your proclamations of faith before the Lord and the scriptures. It's like Hezekiah said, he took the letter and spread it before the Lord and said, Lord, what are you going to do about this? And God took care of it. It's like, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Lord, you're our Lord. You're the one that oversees everything in our life. What are you going to do about this? Petition thou me. I don't know exactly where that is, but that's the scripture. Petition me. He wants you to. He wants you to come boldly by the throne, before the throne of grace. We'll read that in a second. All right, verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, and it will not be behindhand or it on its appointed day. Whenever I was thinking about, you know, what I was going to bring, he kept bringing up that word behindhand, and I had a hard time finding it. Behindhand. And this is what behindhand means. Let me find it here. Well, I thought I wrote it down. Well, it means behind schedule. Behind schedule. You know, I had a picture in my mind. Have you ever gone anywhere and a vacation or something? You got all your kids with you, and all of a sudden they just take off, just running, just barreling ahead. And you're going, wait, wait. Because they don't know the dangers or whatever might be ahead. That's the way the Lord says, that's what I do with you and your harvest. You go bailing out, doing your own thing again, and he's going, wait. Because it could be appearing the next day, but you messed it all up. You see what I'm saying here? Boy, we got to keep this thing in check. Wait for it. Like children, Paul said, when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. That's what kids do. They plunge ahead and they give no thought to what might be there or what danger might lie ahead or anything like that. Okay. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait, not those who plunge ahead, those who wait. Okay, one more scripture and then we'll go to something else. This is Hebrews 4. Fourteen. Inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liabilities to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help in well-timed help coming just when we need it. Those that wait. Dot, 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 wait for it.